You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, turn up the excitement this football season with Tipico Sportsbook. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app now and enter promo code IHEART150 to claim your exclusive welcome offer. $150 in bet credits and a $30 football future bet for this season. Start football season right. Download Tipico Sportsbook today. That's promo code IHEART150 to get your exclusive football offer now. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, you can find the highest quality products at a great price in every aisle, every day with Kroger brand. So you can stock up on your household favorites that are tried, tested, and loved by you. Because when you get the products you love at great prices, it feels like winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games.
Specters, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom or Robots, and I don't have a Sam with me today because he is currently stuck on Earth in traffic. And so you can blame all the cars that are still on Earth. I don't know. We're not pretending we're in the future. That's just a fun little thing. But I do have a bunch of our patrons with us this week to talk about technology. We're talking about our favorite technology in Mass Effect, and we're going to attempt to rank the technology as to what is the coolest and what is the it's just kind of okay. So that's the goal of today's show, and I'm going to go through everybody's names, and I want each of you to be thinking about one of your favorite technologies and the sound it makes. And when I, on the count of three, say go, everybody's going to make that sound at the same time, and it's going to be super weird. It's going to be awesome. So here we go. We've got Genesis joining us again, Turbo Toboggan, M. Jamar, That Spectre J, G-Man, and Magister Davida. Welcome to the show, everybody. Here we go. Get ready to unmute yourselves. Ready? 3, 2, 1. There's a lot of womp-womp-womp that's going on. I feel like that is kind of the sound that a lot of the technology in Mass Effect does make. That sounds pretty accurate, right? Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. I am excited to dive into this. So here's what we're going to do. You may have some ideas for technology that you want to throw in. So hold on to those. We'll get to those at the end if they don't come up on the list that I'm already going to bring up. And in order to be careful about how we do this, certain tech falls into certain categories. So I'm going to be talking about the categories rather than the individual gadgets necessarily that use that category of tech. Does that make sense? So let's delve into this. I'm going through a list here, and let's start with artificial intelligence. This is a big buzz thing in our society today. We see AI and the way that it plays out in Mass Effect and the problems it causes, but all of the benefits from it as well. What do you all think about AI technology in Mass Effect? How cool is this? How, I don't know, what is your gut feeling about this? And feel free to chime in. Who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about AI in Mass Effect? Turbo, what do you think about AI in Mass Effect?
when AI happens, kind of like a person, like you have to get lucky with the draw. Like if they're good, if the AI learns and gets compassionate, it's like they could really help mankind, like Edie, because she's compassionate, she grows in family. But say the AI is raised or learns, well, not wrong, but it just doesn't agree with humanity. It's like it just sees us as this pestilence and stuff. It'll wipe us out. Like there's almost no way we can stop it. It just depends on if it's good or evil and stuff. Like
so, the Geth are a great example of AI gone awry potentially, and the dangers of it. Edie is a good example of an AI that is helpful and generally wants to coexist with humans in a peaceful way, right? So you've got kind of both sides there.
The Geth aren't all evil. There's Legion and the half of them where all they want to do is exist. They were just protecting their own existence, which I can't fault them for, because that's what we would have done if some aliens had created us. We would have gone, you can't kill us now. We're alive.
Right. Yeah. And so that has to do with the amount of power that group has, right? AI is a very powerful thing. And a lot of people in our own world speculate that AI will eventually replace human intelligence. It will see us as its biggest threat to existence. And so therefore it will get rid of us, you know, like the Matrix or the Terminator. And so the Geth are kind of on that side of that. But then you've got Edie and the benefits to humanity. And you can clearly see that we as humans don't shy away from using AI. We just try to put constraints around it. That seems to be the way it plays out in this future. Right. So is this like a cool thing? Do you feel like this is a cool thing? This is absolutely something that should be focused on. Is it makes it at the top of the list of technology, or do you feel like it's kind of further towards the bottom because of the dangers?
I think it's near the top of it because in the Mass Effect world, it affects a big time. So it's, I don't know if it's S tier, but it's A+, because unless you're a Corian, then it's S tier, because it affects your whole life. It's a big part of the Mass Effect universe. So I think it's very cool and it's very important, because without AI, a lot of things would have changed, because you actually wouldn't have Reapers too either. So I guess it is S tier.
Yeah, clearly it's a very common thing and it's very powerful, but also can be very dangerous. Who else wants to chime in on this? Who has thoughts? Jen?
I kind of agree with what Turbo was saying. It's definitely very important. But I think that baby steps need to be taken towards it. Building an AI without a focus is where things might get dangerous. I believe that if we're going to create an artificial intelligence, it should have a proper purpose. Like Edie, where her purpose was maintaining the ship, being the ship, where the guests had way too broad of a focus and that made all of them splinter. So I think it's a great piece of technology for Mass Effect, and I hope that we don't have the same outcome in the real world.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you kind of put it in that light, like with a very specific focus. And as long as the programming is focused around that, and then that AI continues to grow off of that original focus, then that can kind of hem it in from all the terrible things that could go awry with it. But the Geth being kind of not fenced in at all, there's just all the potential for them to do anything. And so, of course, some of the things they're going to choose to do are going to come across as dangerous or threatening. So, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I like that. Anyone else have thoughts on this one? Magister?
Yes. Even though like purpose is important, and I feel bad for saying this because it feels like Big Brothery, but a lot of monitoring, because the Reapers have purpose for the Leviathan. So sometimes even when they have an AI has purpose, you still got to like kind of monitor everything going on there, because of the Leviathan's doing that purpose for the Reapers, then that sponsors all the different cycles that we have leading up to the Mass Effect timelines.
Right. And so that purpose is only beneficial for them, not for all the other life in the galaxy that they keep on snubbing out, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess it also depends on the purpose, to your point. Turbo, did you want to add something to that?
Another thing. I agree with Jen, but we gotta be careful what purpose we give it, because I heard this example before of like, if you make an AI with its purpose to make paper clips, eventually you gotta set limits on the purpose, because eventually it could just start making paper clips out of everything and make machines that make better paper clips. And then eventually it's like, oh, I'm going to turn Earth into a paperclip. Oh, humans can be turned into paperclips.
Right, right.
Capture all the humans and turn them into paperclips.
Right. I get where you're going with that. Like, they can justify the terrible things they're doing for even for that simple goal. And
yeah, so we got it's like we got to be very, very careful. It's like just don't harm other things.
Uh-huh. Okay. So in spite of all the dangers, do we agree that this is an A tier? We're going A tier. Let's hold up one finger for S, two for A, three for B. We'll just do 1, 2, 3. We'll just do numbered tiers. Spectre J wants to chime in too. Spectre.
Yeah, sorry. I just, you know, we're talking about AI right now and like the beneficiaries of having it and the downfalls of having it. I mean, you got to kind of look at, in my opinion, like what we got going on right now. We have smart houses. You know, you can walk into your house and be like, Alexa, turn on lights.
Right.
Like, oh, I left. Right. I tell my phone, like, hey, Alexa, I know that's not really an artificial intelligence, I guess that would be more of a virtual.
It's closer to virtual. We're going to cover virtual intelligence next. But yeah, it's the interface is on the edge of, we have interfaces that are on the edge of virtual intelligence. But yeah. AI would be the jump to being self-aware.
And I think that if it's propositioned in the correct environment, it could actually genuinely help us. You know, I mean, like, let's just say instead of, how do I say this? Like a person that keeps stock of inventory at a hospital, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I forgot to order insulin. You know, it's like this hospital is behind on insulin. This is just one unique situational example. But I mean, like if you have an AI in charge of that, you know, it knows that there is going to be stuff coming and it's handling all of that.
Right.
So I think that it'd be beneficial.
Yeah. The human flaws of like getting sick and not coming in or forgetting to reorder something are not things that it's going to suffer from. That's kind of your point, right? Is that it'll kind of be there. It'll do its job and it'll keep doing its job.
Yeah, I definitely think that it could be beneficial in a lot of ways. But in the same way, with going along with Turbo said, we would have to be careful. There would have to be limitations on it, but there's a catch-22 to that. Mm-hmm. If you tackle it up and you're not letting it be 100% self-aware, like you think it's going to be happy when you finally, all right, let's try and release you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's great. You've had me shackled for the last 40 years. You die now.
Right. All right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. All right. Let's vote on this. Everybody individually is going to vote on like on a score of like 1 being the best to 5 being the lowest. How cool is AI technology in the way that we see it in Mass Effect? How cool is this? Is this one of your favorites? So I see a 1, I see a 2. Who else wants to vote? Feel free to say something if I can't see you on screen. Just see 2 more 2s. So this is pretty high up there.
I'd say 1.
G-Man says 1. Magister, what do you think? Magister 2. Says 2. I see it in chat now. Okay, so like 1s and 2s. So this is up there. This is like 1.5. We'll give it like a 1.5 on average. All right, let's move on to virtual intelligence. And the difference here between AI and VI is really the interface. So the idea that when you walk around, you see representations of humanoid or alien people on these screens or as projections, you know, like kind of similar to Star Wars. You guys have played Mass Effect, though. You know what I'm talking about. This happens all over the place. And when you talk to the computer, it interfaces with you like a person. It responds, it moves, it has facial, you know, interactions, it understands language, and all of that works in a way that makes it feel more like you're dealing with other people rather than machines. And underneath that, there's an AI intelligence. But what do you think about that interface? Any thoughts on that? Do you feel like I feel like we kept getting closer to it, like Spectre J was talking about that. M. Jamar, what do you think?
VI is mid, honestly. It's just like when you have AI, you know, it's really nothing compared to the only VI that I respect is Vigil, because he was actually Wait, he was a VI, right? So, the protein.
Yeah.
On Ilos.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the only VI that I really like. Would say is actually interested or that I actually like. I mean, other VIs, it's just. I mean, we could have that today in our world today. So it's like it doesn't really interest me that much. But I mean, they give out useful information sometimes. Like mm-hmm. I said, literally.
So if given the choice, you would rather just interface with a machine rather than having like a human representation there to talk to?
I definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I hate VIs, but it's just like they're not really that interesting. They're just a person.
Right. Kind of take it or leave it. You're like, either way, doesn't really matter too much.
Yeah.
It looks like Sam's logging in. I don't know if he's actually out of the car yet or not, but we'll see. Hey, Sam, can you hear us?
Hey, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're coming through. How's it going?
I am in the car still, so I'm going to keep myself muted unless I'm talking, but I did want to be here.
Yeah, no, I figured you'd probably have to just be calling in. Feel free to chime in. The signal seems fine. If you really want to chime in on something, feel free to, but don't feel like you absolutely have to. Focus on driving. Don't get in a wreck. Well, here to catch Sam up and anybody else who's jumped into the stream recently, we're talking about technology. We're going through all the different categories of technology, and then we're talking about the benefits and the drawbacks of each, and really just how cool each one is, which ones we like the best. We're kind of ranking the technology, and we just talked about AI, and that got a rank of a 1 or 2 for most of us, so that's high on the list. One's as high as you can go, and now we've moved on to virtual intelligence, so the interface side of it, looking at people that look like they interact like humans do when you want to interact with these AI. M. Jamar says you can kind of take it or leave it. Who else has some thoughts on this one? Turbo?
I love the VI and Mass Effect and stuff because besides Virgil, but my favorite AI is I can't remember if it's his name, but it's like the Shadow Brokers VI, the one Liara has. I just love that little guy, especially in Mass Effect 3 when he's actually on the ship. But VI is, I feel like, is like the safe version. Glyph, thank you.
There you go. Yeah, Spectre Jace says Glyph. Yeah.
I didn't know that popped up like that.
Yeah, it's a little chat we have in Zoom going on. So, feel free to chime in on the chat or on the actual stream chat if you want.
Glyph, I love him because it's like this. It's a VI is like the safe, to me, it's the safe version of AI. Because if you give it enough information, especially when it has the Shadow Brokers thing, because it has access to all that, it can be as smart or smarter than a human and stuff.
Well, let me pause there. I think what's going on behind the scenes for most of these VIs is that they actually have AI brains that are working behind the scenes. So they're really one and the same. It's just the way you see it is different. So, for example, a Geth has a physical body with an AI mind, an AI being artificial intelligence, right? It's not a biological mind going on in there. Any of the races you come across are biological intelligences, and any of these virtual intelligences, these VIs, are really just representations of a physical thing, but they still have the computation of an AI behind them for the most part, I would assume. Unless they're, and I'm sure, okay, but here's the other thing. I'm sure there's all sorts of shades of gray if you actually get into it. Like, for example, the limiting factors around Edie and the goal of running the ship, right? There are certain boundaries, and then she continues to grow beyond those boundaries and starts to actually feel more like a person as the series goes on, right? So there's these gray areas, like how much capacity do they actually have? How complex is their processing? I don't know that we really know the answer to a lot of that. But to your point, they seem very useful, right?
And then the VI, I don't know if it's just my mindset. They always feel like they feel safer. I guess it is a mindset. VIs just always feel safer. You don't have to, because I've never in media heard of a VI rising up in like a VI rise up, like Terminator or something like that. It's always been AI. So I guess it's just,
well, to show the distinction again, just so there's clarity here, the VI is the representation of the AI. So I would assume that every VI is also AI. VI is just the way it's shown, as opposed to being in a physical shell.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, like,
right. So, also, for example, so like here, to take your example a step further, Cyberpunk. In Cyberpunk, you have a lot of AI, but they all exist on like the dark net. They're all programs that don't, or not all of them, but a lot of them are programs that don't actually have physical counterparts. They are all programs that are running somewhere out on a network of computers, and so they are all autonomous of their own will. They're able to do things out there, but they don't have a physical representation. Now, if one of those AIs on the dark web were to show itself on a computer screen or as a like hologram, all of a sudden they're now represented as VI technology. Does that make sense? I think that's the distinction. And Sam, feel free to clarify if I'm messing any of this stuff up. So
if I can chime in for a little bit, I'm pretty sure when it comes to Mass Effect, there are very few representations of VIs, but one of them is a Vena. And I don't think a Vena has any AI going on behind the surface. I think that a Vena has a very few select scripted responses that she can provide you. But I don't think that she in any capacity can qualify as an AI. Right, the only other one that comes to mind is the Shepard VI, and that's just more of a joke.
Right. What about Edie before she gets a body? You could still talk to her, right? Like by using language and interface with her through a virtual way. Does that make sense?
That's true. But I think that she still qualifies as an AI. But the only difference is once she's unshackled, then she's an unshackled AI, meaning that she doesn't have limitations on her programming. But I still think that she would qualify as an AI, but I see what you're saying, that there's a virtual interface.
Right. Before she gets a physical body. Yeah, before she gets a physical body, she would technically be an AI with a VI, with a virtual interface in order. And that virtual interface would be language. It would be just talking. And we have a little bit of that with like Siri and stuff like that today, right? Does that make sense? It's a gray distinction, and I'm just trying to at least put boundaries on the conversation in order to actually talk about anything at all. So that's why I'm struggling with this.
Right. And well, there's just simply not a lot of VIs that we see in Mass Effect that are not at all AIs. So like the only two that come to mind for me are Avena and the Shepard VI.
Right.
But
right.
If anyone else has some thoughts, please chime in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw Magister. I saw you unmute earlier. Did you want to add to this?
Sure. So the last episode that you guys did was the Omnitool. Would the ability for the Omnitool to reference your medical history and medical records, would that be considered VI, like communicating with the doctor to?
No, I mean, really, that's just software accessing data. So if your Omnitool was then to talk to you or show you an image of something talking to you, that would be VI, that representation of a way to interface with humans beyond just text on a screen or a picture, like actual things that sound or look like people interfacing the way people do. That's how I would define it. Does that make sense?
Sure. In that case, yeah, it's definitely mid-tier.
Okay, mid-tier. Turbo, you have some other thoughts?
Quick question. Then the thing that Tali summons as her little battle thing, is that VI or is that a droid?
That's
like pop up like glyph and then disappear. Yeah.
I think the whole concept of VI is that it is in order to interface with people. It is a way to interface with people in a much more natural way than just reading language on a screen or seeing pictures.
Yeah, Tally's thing is just a battle droid. She talks to it, but it doesn't talk back. it only shoots bullets.
Right, right. Now, if that were to have conversations with her, if she could talk to it and say, all right, kill those three people, but don't injure that guy over there. And the thing looks at her and with a face says, understood, I'll get right on that, and then goes and does it. That interaction was through a virtual interface. So it doesn't matter that it was a droid. It doesn't matter that it's projected in some ways. It matters that it's interfacing in a kind of human way with people. So it's a very, very nuanced distinction. What was that, Magister?
Just Siri and Alexa on steroids, basically.
Yeah. Imagine Siri 10 years from now or something, you know, like maybe it goes into that kind of way. All right. So let's vote on this one. You guys are like middle tier, like 3-1. Turbo says 1. We're talking 4-3. This is kind of a mid tier thing. Spectre J says
I'll
3.
Say 2.
G-Man says 2. Okay, so we're getting kind of mid stuff. 4. Okay, cool. Let's move on. We'll do one more before we go to the mid break. Now, let's talk about Element Zero and the harnessing of Element Zero. And clearly this connects through to Mass Effect fields, but I want to leave that as its own thing. So here, I'm going to read from one of the wikis about what this actually says, and then we'll use that in order to talk about this. So it says, when subjected to an electrical current, the rare material dubbed Element Zero, or EZO, emits a dark energy field. So dark energy is very specific to this. That raises or lowers the mass of all objects within it. This mass effect is used in countless ways, from generating artificial gravity to manufacturing high-strength construction materials. It is most prominently used to enable faster-than-light space travel. So mass effect fields and faster-than-light space travel, I want to make that its own discussion, because that's so much of what happens in the series with these, with a lot of the technology that we see. But of everything else that Element Zero does, so like manufacturing, artificial gravity, all of that stuff, the harnessing of Element Zero, what do you think about that specifically?
I have a quick question. Because you've separated FTL travel and mass effect fields, does that also include biotics? Because biotics use EZO to generate mass effect fields.
Let's leave the travel as its own thing. That's where I want to make the distinction, because clearly the travel is really cool and it has a lot of its own benefits. But I guess we can go into biotics, the effect that it has on humans. Sure, I think that's part of it as well. So what do you all think about that? What do you think about EZO, Jen?
I think EZO is one of the most important things to Mass Effect. Without it, you don't have any of the, I mean, sure, you can have advanced weaponry and some upgraded technology, but without it, you don't have biotics. You don't have the faster than light. You don't have all this stuff. And then you wouldn't have the game called Mass Effect, because right. That's what EZO does. So if anything, EZO is the most important, coolest piece of technology there is.
Okay, now clearly all of these things are very powerful. They have benefits, but they also have drawbacks. There are dangers associated with this, right? Like, not all biotics take to it very well, and they get exploited, and it creates social issues. There's a lot of other stuff we can go into there. But I'm sure the power of using this to create gravity and manufacture things that they couldn't before seems mostly beneficial. What do you guys think? Do you think this is, on average, a mostly beneficial thing? Spectre J.
So I definitely think it's a little bit above average, but I did have kind of a sidebar here for it. Now, are we discussing this in the Mass Effect timeline or in our current day timeline?
Well, we're talking about in Mass Effect, how cool is this? Like, do we really like this as technology? But as Sam and I normally do, we can still discuss, like, what would the ramifications be in our own
well,
world?
That's
sure.
Where my went to for a second was the ramifications of placement in today, because in today we are still a very greedy entity. You know, the human race, we are greedy. You know, you could be gifted this. Somebody could pop out of the future and be like, boom, here's EZO, this is how it works. It wouldn't reach the general masses. That would be for the top 1%. And it would be, okay, yeah. Well, now we have this travel and we have this, but it's going to be 10 years salary to use it.
Right. So, or they would find ways to, like, the wealthy would find ways to make money off of it and hoard it and do all the things. And then it would drip down to everyone else in a very, you know, limited sort of way. And it would make the rich richer and all of that. Absolutely. Yes. I think you're right.
That's what I wanted to point out. But I am in 100% agreement with Jen that it is one of the most important identifying factors in the game. Like, you couldn't have everything in the game without Ezo, from Biotics, from FTL travel, from just everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It is important. That is true. Who else wants to chime in? Any other thoughts on this one? G-Man, you haven't said a whole lot. What do you think about Ezo?
I agree pretty much with what's been said, is that it's pretty much one of the cornerstones of the Mass Effect universe. The only thing that I would say is that it's always going to be second place to me, just due to the fact that I think artificial intelligence as a technology is a greater achievement, because depending on whether or not you believe the unit has the soul or not, it's essentially creation of life, which I don't think can be matched as far as technological achievements go. Ezo's great, and all the cool stuff that it does is just awesome cinematically and, you know, gameplay wise, and just, you know, as a technological achievement. But it's always going to be second place to like artificial intelligence to me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Both seem very important and powerful technologies for sure. But yeah, one can only make something that even seems similar to actual intelligent life. That's a good point. All right. Anybody else have thoughts on Ezo before we get to Mass Effect fields? Turbo, what are you thinking?
Not so much. It's more of a question. The other races, did they need Ezo to unlock their robotics, or did they just happen naturally?
That's a good question. Sam?
I forgot for Asari and like all the other ones that have biotics.
Right. Yeah.
So it seems that the Asari are really the only race who took to biotics supernaturally. That is most likely because of interference from the Protheans. But it also all comes back to Ezo. So I did want to bring up something just so everyone else is aware that even if we're excluding travel from this, telecommunications are also based off of Ezo, because they use FTL comm buoys in the Mass Effect.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Universe. So factor in telecommunications, being able to communicate across the galaxy into this conversation as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. It's hard to divide these things up because they all touch on so many things. Like communication could be its own thing, but if most of that is enabled through the use of EZO, then it's kind of not its own thing. It's both things. Then travel's kind of its own thing in that way too. All right, let's take some votes. How cool is EZO? What do you think about EZO as a technology? Turbo's giving it a 1. Spectre J is a 1. M. Jamar is a 1. Genesis is a 1. G-Man and Magister, 1. 2. We got 1-2. We got 1-2 on here. All right. We're going to move into Mass Effect fields and actually the actual ability to travel at distance, because that is one of those things that all of us think about when we think about space and going to the stars and how that can potentially change humans in their place in the galaxy and all of that. So we're going to do that when we get back. But first, we got to go thank our patrons. So we will be right back.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are. This is the part of the show where we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patron, Magister DeVita, who is joining us right now. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you signed up in time to join us on this chat. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope all of you are enjoying it out there, and all 68 of our current patrons. Thank you for your support. Also, shout-outs for our Shepherd tier patrons, Kokoshins, Edboy, Kirasi, Lieutenant Tuxino, that's Spectre J, and William. Thank you so much for your support as well. If you are interested in joining this group, doing this with us in a future month, or getting shirts or ad-free episodes, all of that stuff at patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. And we also have a review, one that we skipped from last week, but we're gonna hit it this week. This comes from Rex Freak in Canada, and this is on Apple Podcasts. I'm Commander Vicarian, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Man, I thought I loved the world of Mass Effect before. Now I just can't get enough of it after listening to this awesome show. I love the chemistry Tom and Sam share, with Tom connecting the lore to theology and real-world parallels, and Sam with his brain full of Mass Effect knowledge. As an inspiring author, things like this really give me an amazing perspective on what it makes iconic sci-fi. These stories and characters are so important to a lot of people. Thank you for bringing them just a little closer to reality. Does this unit have a soul? Great. Awesome. Thank you so much for leaving that. And of course, if you decide to leave us a 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out in the future. Plus, you can rate the show on Spotify and all sorts of other places as well. So thank you for all of your support. Sam and I couldn't do this without all of you. We really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, we are back, and it is time to talk about using EZO for space travel. That's the next topic. Being able to manipulate mass in order to travel across the galaxy at speeds, or distances, I guess you should say, that we never thought were possible. What do you all think about this? How cool is this technology? And are there drawbacks? I guess that's another part of the question, right? Because a lot of these technologies seem to have some drawbacks. This one probably does too. M. Jamar, what are you thinking?
Yeah, this is probably my favorite technology, I think. I mean, just, it's probably a lot of people's favorite, but I mean, for obvious reasons, you're traveling across the galaxy like that, you know, at the snap of the finger. And it's like, it's really, that's how everything is connected. That's why, you know, at the end of Mass Effect 3, when all the relays are destroyed, it's just everyone's fucked, you know, like, it's a bad situation. You know, that's why they're so important. For me, they're one, like, without a doubt, maybe not the most important per se. I mean, I still think EZO is more important, but obviously, but you know, I love those mass relays.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's one of those things, like any kid who grew up looking at space going, man, I want to be like in Star Wars or whatever, like that ability to have that in this game and just like go from one planet to another. Totally, totally. Very cool. All right. Who else wants to chime in? Any other thoughts? Any other drawbacks about this? Because it's enabled not only humans to spread out into the galaxy, but all the other races as well. And, you know, the Reapers kind of set up the relays. And so it's kind of a nefarious reason to do that. Jen?
Well, I mean, biggest drawback is that in Mass Effect 2, it actually tracks how much of it you use. So therefore, I have to go harvest it from planets and stuff or find little asteroids. And then, you know, I actually got to do resource collection. Come on now. Let me just buy it somewhere.
What were you thinking, game devs? So outside of that, though, do you have any other thoughts on it?
No, that was it. It's fun. It's a requirement. It's what you got to do. Space travel and getting from those long distances, it's definitely, there's an economy built around it. There's money to be made from it. It's where Arya gets a lot of her power base from it, and being able to provide Izo as a main trading and money acquisition tool. So it's extremely important.
Yeah, it is. It is extremely important. Wanted Rita 420 in chat says, I'm trying to understand what you're trying to say. Are you one of the patrons and you're trying to join the chat and you're confused about it? Or are you looking for a link for Patreon? I'm not sure what's going on there. Feel free to clarify me on what's going on there. If you are one of the patrons, it's on the Discord. You got to connect your Patreon account to the Discord account, and then you will get access to the patron chat rooms and you'll see the link for the Zoom call. So if that's what's going on, feel free to set that up and then just jump in there and you can join us before the end of the show. So just want to make sure that's taken care of. Magister, you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, the only downside I can really see of the whole this bit of technology is the fact that it does include spreading out and having those moments like the First Contact War with the Turians. Like, because we have the ability to travel that far, it enabled the ability to like meet, contact other aliens, and thus causing war and everything like that. So the more you're able to travel and get around, the easier it is to come into conflict.
Yeah, it's there is conflict. There's a lot of conflict that happens between different races because they are now able to get together. But I guess you could also argue that there's peace that occurs too. There's cooperation. There's different races sometimes help each other out. They try to work together on the Citadel. So is it, do you feel like it's balanced, or do you feel like it still kind of skews worse? I mean, alien races by default probably aren't going to trust each other. It's going to take a lot of work.
It's definitely balanced. It's just that that's just the part that comes with it. Like the fact that you have to, you are meeting other species and aliens and everything like that. So will that be, can it be a good thing? Absolutely. But then if you have like War of the Worlds situation, then that can be a little bit messy. So it all just depends on what you're meeting and what you're seeing out there.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. It does enable things like a War of the Worlds scenario. Like one, I mean, that's, look what we got with the Reapers. It's kind of a similar kind of thing, right? All right. So what do you all think about this? Well, how would you rate travel using Izo for travel? We'll just say that. Mass Effect fields and faster than light travel. This is a one. I'm seeing ones. A lot of two from Jen. G-Man, what do you think? Magister? Your thoughts on this one?
I'll give it a two.
So twos and ones. Okay.
One for me.
One for you. All right, cool. So this is another one that's like 1.5 somewhere in there. It's high up there on the list. Okay, let's go into some other more specific technologies. Metagel. We talked about Metagel on a recent episode. It seems extremely handy. I don't know if there's that many drawbacks. Some of these technologies seem to have benefits and drawbacks, or dogs barking in the background. Sorry about that. But what do you think about Metagel? Who wants to start with that? Anybody have thoughts on Metagel? I mean, or is this just like a, this is great. Jen?
Yeah, this is great. There's so much that it can be used for. And I think that it would be an awesome technology to have in the real world right now. But the blanket uses that you get from it, I think, are amazing as a technology. And then, like, we can also upgrade it to make the Hanar and, like, make better Hanar.
To make
I remember
better
collecting the or make it better for the Hanar, giving them extra healing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does so many things. Anesthetic, disinfectant, clotting. I mean, it seems like one of those technologies that doesn't remove all medical problems, but it definitely reduces a lot of the issues that we currently have with medicine. It also antibiotics, like in our current world, antibiotics are becoming less and less effective as bacteria mutates and becomes more resilient to them. But then something like Metagil might actually solve that problem, right? So they probably don't have that issue in the Mass Effect future. So who else wants to chime in on this one? Any other thoughts on Metagil? Turbo, what are you thinking?
Are there any downsides to Metagil in the Mass Effect? Did they even bring it up?
Yes, you can get a little too woozy if you take too much Metagil too quickly.
You can overdose on it.
And it can disorient you and make you a little bit dizzy and fuzzy in the head. But other than that, I'm not aware of any other, long-term harmful effects.
So for the most side, it's all on the up and up. All right. Any other thoughts on this one? M. Jamar?
Yeah, Medi-Gel saved me from so many pressure mall fights. So, I have to put it up there with the best.
Yeah, it's pretty necessary for the combat in the game, for sure. All right, so how are you going to rate Metagel? Where is this on your list of how cool is it? 2? Jen's giving it 2. What do the rest of you think? 1? Turbo's got a 1. 1 from Spectre J, 1 from Emdramar. G-Man?
I'll give it 2.
2, and Magister. What are you thinking? A 1?
2 as well.
A 2, okay, a 2. 2 for Magister. So this is, again, this is up there. This is up there. All right. We talked about the Omni tool last week and all the different things it can do. And it seems like it's almost infinite amount of things it can do. What do we think about the Omni tool? Is there any drawback to this? It seems kind of like magic. You've got the Omni gel, which is this weird thing. Like, how much energy does it take to use this? It's definitely more of a magic-y feeling kind of technology because we don't really even understand how it works fundamentally. But it seems very useful. What do you think about this one? Magister?
Yeah, I think it's a great technology, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to trust people with it. I work in the banking industry and just seeing the amount of like scam and hackings that can go on with that. Imagine just giving your average Joe the ability to basically be not a biotic god, but a technical god in his own right. So it'd be quite crazy.
Yeah, would you imagine that there are definitely situations where you'd have to leave your Omni tool in order to, like, you know, like, I don't know, how easy is it to use something like that to hack a bank? So maybe you can't bring it into a bank, or maybe you can't bring it into a special event with a bunch of wealthy people because they're afraid you're going to sneak up and hack their account from behind them or something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing out scenarios there. Magister, do you think that might be an issue?
Definitely. Oh, well, at least at first, especially like I picture like watchdog situation where like you're walking past somebody and you hack into their phone and bank account, like right there, like depending on how qualified some people are, they could get away with a lot of things. And then you have people who are the older generation who doesn't know, understand that stuff, especially like the rich elites. I could definitely see them being like, yeah, no, I'm told that the banquet tonight, thank you type situation there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also imagine that different races have different specs for their Omni tools. I don't think this came up in our chat, Sam. But I would imagine that some of the races, like, well, it came up a little bit. We were talking about the group, that extra, oh, I can't think of the name of the group, but how, like, if you were part of a specific group of people who focused more on the apps and things you were developing for your Omni tool, that you might have the ability to use it to hack other place people. Whereas like some races may not have that. They may not be as technologically advanced themselves to be able to develop that. So now you have another imbalance between races due to that technology.
It can certainly be customized for whatever you want. My knee jerk reaction is to say that the Koreans as a whole are probably better on average using the Omni tool than any other race, because they have to be. They have to be incredibly resourceful. Space on the fleet is very limited, and they have to play the cards that they're dealt. And so if your space is limited, your resources are limited, but you can get your hands on different VI and different software on an Omni tool, that might solve a lot of problems on the migrant fleet. So I would venture to say that the Koreans on average are probably going to be more skilled using the Omni.
Right. Now, do you feel like that might give them a one up in other ways against other races? So, for example, when they're in close proximity with each other and being able to hack into other people's systems or anything like that?
I'm not sure if it would give them an edge, because I don't know what, you know, what Norton antivirus is like in the Mass Effect universe. Maybe right. There's different cybersecurity things on different people's Omni tools. But I do know that with them being a nomadic race that's very hard strapped for any kind of resource and cash, that if we're talking about petty theft and different crime, the Koreans who are perhaps stuck on their pilgrimage and are in desperate need of money and cannot find that through legitimate sources because they are so heavily discriminated against and no one will hire them, that would make sense why some of them might turn to crime using their Omni tool.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, so what do the rest of you think? Anybody else have any thoughts on Omni tools? Nobody? No other thoughts? Are we ready to rate this one? Oh, M. Jamar.
Yeah, I think Omni tools are pretty OP. Like, the fact that you can just fabricate stuff, like, kind of BS, but, you know, I'll allow it. But, I mean, that's cool, though. Like, you can just, like, you're in battle, you can just craft some a gun out of a piece of metal or something, like you said earlier, by hacking, you know, you can hack. There's just so many things you can do with it. It's pretty OP. Definitely a lot of drawbacks, but I mean, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the sci-fi future. Is you have to have some technology that we can't explain, but it does really cool stuff. So, yeah. I gotcha. All right. So what do we think about the Omni tool? How would we rate this one? What rating? Turbo's giving it a 1. Everybody's thinking. Jen's giving it a 2. 1 from M. Jamar. Spectre J, G-Man, Magister, what do you all think? 2 from Spectre J. Magister?
3.
The 1 for me.
A 3 and a 1. Okay. So we're still kind of in that average 2 range. All right. So we've got most of the big technologies talked about. I'm sure there's other ones we can come up with. Let's open this up. Anybody else have any other specific technologies that you want to throw into the mix here? Any other things that came up or were distinctly different, not like a subcategory of the things we've talked about? Jay, what are you thinking?
It's something that's not really talked a lot about. As far as I know, it's only brought up during the Citadel DLC. That's when you're taking the ride with Cortez, which he is an underrated character. He is 10 out of 10 in my book, but that's going to be inertial dampeners.
Inertial dampeners. Yeah. I mean, isn't that an ESO technology, though? Because it's messing with momentum and force.
I'm not really sure. See, I've been quiet through most of this because a lot of this is out of my wheelhouse. You know, I'm not a real tech kind of guy. I use the wrench and somebody above me is going to figure out how it works. I put it together.
Sure. No, that totally makes sense. I mean, that's a cool technology, whether it fits an ESO or not. Inertial dampeners is absolutely beneficial, right? Like, think about all the different ways you could utilize that technology. What do the rest of you think about inertial dampeners? It's cool tech. Jen?
I love everything in that scene about the way that he turns them off and then you can feel the G-force pulls. And it's a great, great part of the, well, I guess it's like the Steve date is what they call it, because it's your one-on-one mission with him that you get to go out as friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Well, it totally makes sense for being able to get something up to speed fast. You know, so for example, if you're moving a spaceship and you're not moving at, like, you're not jumping from planet to planet, but you need to move quickly And if you move too fast, every biological creature on the ship is going to get like splattered into the back of their seat or whatever, right? So you need some inertial dampeners in order to allow maneuverability in space at really, really fast speeds and things like that. It seems like another crucial technology that you would, I don't know, is limitless in its potential. Turbo?
I'm guessing it holds a big thing for cargo transplant because if you need to get anything anywhere, any kind of jostling would just destroy the stuff in it, even when you're coming into the docks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you just destroy all your merchandise. You have no reason to.
Yeah. Transport. But it also would enable things like faster elevators or space elevators. Like, that's a whole concept. The idea of like building an elevator that can get you into orbit. But how long would it take you to ride a normal elevator up to the point where you get actually, you know, beyond the atmosphere? But with inertial dampeners, it wouldn't feel like you're moving at all. You're just standing there in an elevator moving extremely fast. There's other techs that you could use this for. Any other thoughts on this one? G-Man, did you want to chime in? I saw you unmute for a second.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Good. All right. What do we think about inertial dampeners? Let's rate this one. What do you think? 1, 2, 3, 4. How cool is it? 2? We got a 2. We got a 3. We got a 3. We got a 1.
3.
3. Magister, what are you thinking?
2 for me.
2 for you. All right. So it's a little bit lower on the list, but still pretty cool. Any other technology you guys want to throw out there? Turbo.
The heat clips.
The heat clips.
Because it's such, it goes from Mass Effect in between games. It just suddenly, all of a sudden, they're in there. So it's like a big change.
Right. Yeah, to the weapons. All right. So what do you all think about heat clips? Weapons being, or even just the tech. I mean, you could use it beyond just weapons, right? The ability to pull that heat extremely fast and then move it somewhere else. Seems useful for industry, for sure. People in chat are voting. I see like a 2.
Well,
a 2.
Don't they use that for the ship too?
Yes, I believe so.
Like a big giant heat sink? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Technology in general. That's one of the big issues with our current day technology is the amount of heat that leaks out from everything. It creates inefficiencies. It heats up the room. Like you've got a good computer. Like I've got this computer next to me. That thing heats up the room. Even when we're just doing this, having a chat and doing a stream because of all the heat that's emitted from the electronics. So yeah, absolutely. It kind of goes hand in hand with some of the ESO tech, I would assume. Anybody else have any thoughts on heat clips? All right, let's vote on this one. Doesn't look like anybody else had any other thoughts. Let's vote. What do you think? How cool are heat clips? 3 is a little lower on the list. 4. Three, four. It's a little lower, but it's 3. Cool. 3. Okay. Not as exciting as some of the others, but still pretty cool. All right. Any other thoughts on any other tech we haven't covered yet? G-Man hasn't gone yet. G-Man, go ahead.
Are you good? I was thinking like the Alliance special package, or like the gene therapy kind of stuff, like the genetic enhancements, I guess.
Yeah.
That seem very popular in Mass Effect.
Right. Genetic enhancements, ability to handle the genes, like the genophage technology, or the cure for the genophage technology would have something similar to do with the ability to manipulate biology. So that this does come up a lot. The ability to manipulate biology, the limitations on being able to do that. That's a good point. I feel like this is another one of those double-edged swords where there's a lot of benefits, but there could be a lot of drawbacks as well. What do you all think about that? Anybody have thoughts on this one? Turbo's rating it a 3. Let's discuss it a little bit. Jen, what do you think?
I think that it's really cool. And I think that what G-Man was talking about, like Ashley talks about in her dossiers, it talks about how she got the genetic manipulation even before she, like parts were modified before she was born. And then once you enter in the Alliance, you can go through additional modifications to make your body a little bit more sturdy, make you healthier, making sure that you're not going to get any of these other diseases and things like that. So I think, yeah, genetic manipulation can be cool.
It can be cool. Now, does this create another one of those issues of the haves and have-nots? The people who have the means can make themselves look beautiful and be healthy and live extra long lives and safer, even if they're in combat, all of that stuff, as opposed to maybe some people who can't afford that. And so now you end up with this like beautiful population and then a kind of everyone else. Like, is that a drawback from this?
I don't know what the healthcare system is like in Mass Effect. So
yeah. Well, I would assume it's not free for everyone just to do whatever gene changes they want, right? Like, it might be one thing to say, oh, I've got this deadly disease, and maybe there's some sort of socialized healthcare, and they're able to get rid of the disease to keep you alive, right? Like, I would imagine that that's probably at the top of their list of priorities if they're going to have socialized medicine. But the, like, my nose could look better, I'm going to just adjust it using gene therapy, or at least I'm going to adjust my child's nose in the womb before they're born because I want them to be more beautiful, right? Like, that kind of thing seems like one of those things that, like, the wealthy would do, but, like, everyone else is just like, we can't afford that. I don't know. Just these are like the what ifs, right? And thinking about like, how would this actually affect society? Any other thoughts on this one? Gene manipulation and therapy? All right. No other thoughts on this one. Let's take this to a vote. What do you all think about that? How would you rate this one? 3 for Jen. This one's a 3 for Turbo. 2. Magister?
2.
So somewhere between 2 and 3. Okay. All right. And then, Jay, did you have one more you wanted to throw in here? We've got time for one more. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's on everything in the game, but it's shielding technology.
Yeah, the shielding technology.
So, I mean, whether it's for your personal shield, your ship shield, your Kodiak shield.
Right.
The Makos, I mean, it's everywhere in the game, and it's not talked about because that's, yeah, could you imagine, like, if you didn't have a shield? And now I'm a little fuzzy on how the mechanics of the weaponry in the games. I've listened to all the podcasts, so it's there, but I'm a little fuzzy on it. But I mean, like, could you imagine taking a chunk of metal flying that fast without a shield? Or,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah,
that's a huge problem out there with space stations is, when satellites blow up, one bolt can put a cannonball hole size hole in a satellite dish because
right.
It just keeps picking up.
The velocity, yeah, the energy expelled on an impact is some equation that has velocity and mass combined, but the velocity is multiplied into the mass or something like that. So
yeah,
the faster something moves, it gains way more energy compared to the amount of mass that the thing has.
Yeah. So Mass Effect 2, it's why Sir Isaac Newton is the most deadliest guy in history.
Yeah. So now that's true. Like, the shield technology, the ability to just shrug off or stop these things from damaging. I mean, it seems like a sci-fi trope at this point, but at the same time, they clearly have the technology to do that. It requires some sort of power source. It's limited. You can drain the shields, right? Like, they take enough impacts, the shields go away. So it has internally consistent rules for how it works in the world, and is extremely useful. I don't know if there's too many drawbacks from shield technology either, right? Like, for the most part, it keeps people safe. Say that again, Jay.
Other than the bad guy having one.
Right. Yeah. Other than somebody else having one that you don't want to have one. But yeah. Yeah. What do you all think about shield technology? Any other thoughts on this one?
Yeah. I love the shields because it just allows me to just walk right at things with no cover. Because without that, I mean, you know, because I can't rely on Kaden or Liara to shoot for me. So yeah, I definitely need those shields.
Yeah, they're very useful in combat. They allow you to pop up, take a few hits, hide again, refill your shields, pop back up. Absolutely. Jen, did you have thoughts?
Yeah, the shielding technology is actually like one of my favorite technology pieces in game. The tech armor, it's just called tech armor for the Sentinel in Mass Effect 2, by far is the greatest piece of tech in my opinion. I love it when my armor explodes, it explodes everybody else around me. Uh-huh. And so it's like, then I have time to regen my shields and then I'm good to go. And you're still stunned.
You're screwed, buddy. That's what you get for shooting me. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. All right. Let's vote on this one. What do you all think about how cool the shield technology is? I'm giving it a two. I see a two, a one, a two, a two. G-Man? Magister?
Two.
All right. So Magister?
Give it a one.
A one. Oh, just a little bit more between a two and a one. It's mostly twos, but getting up there. 2.5. I see some of you guys in chat. All right. So it seems like, in conclusion, you are all pretty much fans of all the technology, because most of these got fairly high ratings. Things like, what was it, like Metagel got a little bit lower. It was beneficial, but not super cool, you know. But most of these are in that at least two range, or 2 to 1. Any other final thoughts on any of this stuff before we wrap up? Anybody have any other thoughts on technology that they were like, oh, I should have said this when we were talking about this or whatever? Nothing. All right. Oh, MJMar, final thought.
This is not really like Mass Effect specific technology because we still have it technically, but I thought their Wi-Fi was, the way they had Wi-Fi was interesting. Like, because I read in the Codex, like, the higher, the more important citizens have access to the Wi-Fi basically first, and then the lower, the second class or whoever's next, and then the basic people just have like, they have the
dial
like,
up.
They can use the, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. But I also thought it was cool that they had like a stored cache of data that was like for commonly searched terms and just things like that. So that was kind of cool to me because I always wondered like, how does the Wi-Fi work? You know, like,
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, the extranet is another thing, like talking about communication and at a distance, and then the extranet being a thing that can exist and everybody can access it from different places. How does that really work? Yeah, we didn't really cover that too much. So it kind of connects into the communication ESO thing. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point too. All right. Well, we're not gonna rate these things, as we could take this would last forever. But but. Thanks for bringing that up. That was a cool idea. All right, let's go back through. If you have something you want to put out into the world, then feel free to share it. If you've got some projects you're working on or whatever. Otherwise, thank you for being here. And this is always a lot of fun. I'm so sorry that Sam only could call in from the car. I have a feeling we're going to wrap this up, and then he's going to finally log in from a computer, and we're going to be like, we're done, Sam. And he's going to be like, okay, bye. But that's how it goes sometimes. All right, we're going on my screen in order. Genesis. I know you've got stuff to share.
Yeah, I have two shows that are part of the Robots Radio Network, Two Girls, One Ship, where we analyze, rate, and review video game romances, a weekly character deep dive with the romantic aspects of games, and then the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we talk everything cyberpunk, the TV series, the video game, the tabletop game, and shout out to Artosaurian Games for hitting the 2023 Hall of Fame for Cyberpunk, the role-playing game.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, very cool stuff. And you can check out her stuff anywhere you're listening to this show. You can look up those shows as well, or you can just go to robotsradio.net if you're looking for links from there. So lots of ways to tune into awesome stuff. Thanks, Jen. Turbo, usually you're like, yeah, I don't have anything going on. Are you going to blow my mind and be like, well, actually, this time I have this thing?
Well, actually, Tom, I have nothing.
You just blew my mind in the opposite direction. All right. Well, cool, man. I'm glad you're all here. Right. Thank you for being here. MJMar, anything else going on that you want to shout out?
Not really. I'm on the Discord, MJMar. I'm going to talk Mass Effect. I'll play some games from you. But yeah, it was nice being here. You guys have a nice night.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And then Spectre J, anything you want to share?
No, nothing really. I mean, like I said, I do Mass Effect wood burnings on the side. Oh, actually, I guess I wasn't going to bring it up because it's in the very infantile stages, but I'm trying to get my own podcast up and going. Don't know about what yet.
Okay. Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Like coffee chat room sort of thing, like topics of what's going on in the world today, like things that interest whoever.
Cool.
See who I talk, you know, I like to talk, so it's fun.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. That's awesome.
on the Discord, so if anyone ever sees me on there, they can shoot me a message or whatever. I'm chill.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. G-Man, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You got anything going on you want to share?
No, I'm just G-Man on the Discord. I occasionally will write a novel in response to a really simple topic on Discord, and that's about it.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for being here. And then Magister, I'm so glad you decided to join us this time.
Yes, thank you for having me. Magister De Vita, Magister of Twilight on Discord. I don't really have anything going on yet, but it was a pleasure to meet your all acquaintance and be on the show.
Yeah, I'm so glad you decided to join us. That's awesome. Well, I'm sorry that Sam couldn't be more a part of this. Sometimes that happens and we just have to go on without him, but I'm sure he'll be back next month and we will be back next week with a regular episode. So stay tuned for all of that. And thanks again for being here, everybody, patrons, chat, everybody listening at home or your office or in your car or wherever. Thank you for being here. That's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next time. So stay safe out there in that crazy universe. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.